Welcome to the message of today's service. As we begin, let us ask God's presence. Mighty God, we thank you for our lives, for your involvement in every moment of our life, for Jesus coming and doing and visiting and being a part of who we are and giving us hope. And for the Spirit that conveys and lives and moves in us. God, as we listen to what words you have provided, God, give us the message individually that you have made for us. Thank you, and we just pray for your very presence in this message. In Christ's name, amen. Peace be with you. When you hear this, what do you think? What comes to mind when you hear that? I would ask you this week to think about what that means to you. Kind of make that a beginning of your day, or certainly as you end your day, kind of reflect back and think, peace be with you. Did I see it? Did I feel it? Did I notice it? Was it a part of my day? And Lisa touched on some of the points of peace. It's freedom from disturbance. You know, everybody's peace is absence of war, but I want to talk about it from this perspective. It's a freedom from disturbance, which we all experience. Tranquility. Peace of mind. Have you ever had the opportunity to set maybe on the beach at the ocean and the waves just roll in and it's just this effect that just kind of has mesmerizing over you? Or for me, it's alongside a mountain stream and the water just ripples over the stones and it's just such tranquility. That's the thing. I hope you can experience it if you have not. And if you have, reflect on that and just kind of go back and in the moment. How did it feel? Do these words, peace be with you, have an impact on you? Do they even have relevance? Human beings often see or perceive differently for a variety of reasons. And in this crowd, we all have a different little perspective of peace be with you. And part of that comes from our culture. Certainly if we had someone from the international side of our church here, their take could be quite different than ours. We view things from a Western perspective. When we read the Bible, when we read the stories, we view it from a Western perspective. And that's not always the case. But the backgrounds we have, not just the culture, but the family we were raised up in, the region of the country you grew up in, those all play into a different perspective. Today, I'm going to read Luke 3, 1 through 6, and bear with me as I go through some of these great names some of these folks had. We'll get through it, and if it didn't sound quite right, you can put your own version in. Beginning in verse 1, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, Caesar Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, and Herod, being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturania and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene. And I had to think, why did he put this in there? Did he do that just so that years through the centuries, people could stumble across these? We'll stop that rabbit trail right now. Verse 2, during the high priesthood of Ananias and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, and he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book, the words of Isaiah the prophet. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Prepare the way of the Lord. What does that mean? Is that something we do? Is that something that's done for us, to us? This is where we're going back to that time period where this was written, 2,000 plus years ago in the Middle East part of the world, definitely not westernized, not Far East. In those days, the people were told to prepare the road for a visiting ruler. So when a ruler was going to come into this region, the public works folks got out and they worked on the roads. They tried to make those immaculate for those visiting rulers to give a really good example of that region. They would go out and clear all the rocks off the road and make it smooth. From my working career background, a lot of the roads that exist, actually most, if not all roads exist, the foundation of that is something you don't see. It's stuff below the surface to get that so that that grade can be smooth and it will last. It's not just a surface makeover. And I want you to think about that. This is not just put a pretty look to the top. This is making something that's going to last, something that's going to be stable. We need to realize that's what Jesus has done for us. He hasn't just put a gloss finish on us. He's working in us deep within inside, down in our very heart. He wants us to be prepared for the way of the Lord. Straight paths, mountains and hills lowered, crooked paths made straight, and the rough places become level. They're just removing obstacles. As you think about this, this section of scripture is really laced with metaphors, word pictures. In our lives, do we have mountains that we deal with? Do we have crooked paths that we meander around to reach a point? Jesus is about working with us and removing the distractions. And we all have distractions. Jesus created a path to the kingdom of God. In his life, Jesus died, resurrection, and ascension. And we're coming upon his birth at the beginning of that. Think this through. Every piece of this is moving obstructions, moving distractions, making a path, making a way to him to prepare so that we can truly grasp peace be with you. Sending his Spirit from the Father to dwell in human hearts as we placed our trust in him and his finished work. We are recipients of that. We're not on our own. We don't do things alone. We have the presence of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit with us all the time. The question comes in, do some of our choices or some of our habits or some of our behaviors become distractions, and Jesus is pushed aside a little bit? Or this particular hour, this is my TV hour, this is my shows that I watch, and that's the most important part of that. No, Jesus is there watching it with you. You wrestle with where that might go for you. It may be he could enjoy a good laugh with you too if it's a comedy. You just don't know. John's message is important because it reminds us that apart from the coming of Christ, our road is unlevel and full of rocks and obstructions. What would your life look like without Jesus in it? Some of you may be able to remember. Some of you, it is such a distant memory that you don't. But we can probably sit down and figure out it's a far different world without Jesus. He comes, he comforts, and he's with us. Talking about the repentance from verse 3 means a total change of one's direction. It's not just, I'm sorry. It's okay. You can be sorry, but don't keep doing the same thing. And as a human, we tend to do that. But the point is, let God level those destructive habits. Let God light up the path that goes in a straight way directly to him. This awareness of need and turning away from sin and Satan is a lifelong process, and none of us will achieve it perfectly. That's not something that's going to hold us back, because Jesus came and paid the price for all of us so that we can be on that road, that we can journey with him, experience life with him, to hear the phrase, "Peace be with you." What obstacles are in your life? And again, this is between you and God. This week, as you reflect on peace, think about maybe making a list or reflecting on what obstacles you might have. Some of them are beyond your control. They are just there. They're not beyond the control of Jesus Christ. And that's the one you can ask to help with those. Remember John's message. Prepare the way of the Lord. And it's ongoing every day, all day long. Are you preparing your hearts and minds to receive the gift of the Christ child? As we are in this season of Advent, have you consciously thought about the birth of Jesus? And yeah, we know what happened. But again, in imagery or in metaphor, are you thinking of what that was like now? The presence of a coming Jesus Christ as a baby. We hear it in a lot of songs in a store. They'll have this music line and there will be Christmas music. But if you get in away from the secular music, but listen to some of the words that we have sung here and will sing, but some of those that have such deep meaning. I was asked, I think it was yesterday, what song really touches me this time of year? And I had a day of silent night to just reflect on what that was like, that whole image. It's powerful. So the gift of the Christ child, of Christ in us, the hope of glory. And remember last week I talked about hope continues every week through Advent. Here's another place that hope shows up. Are we restrictive? Do we draw lines and say, no, that's as far as it goes? Are we able to just let Jesus move in our life? You know, the time it takes. I'm a busy person. I don't have that time. Finances can come into play in so many ways. Relationships can draw us and take us away from this a very important time of the season, but they can also draw close, depending on how you view and work with those relationships. Am I open to the coming and the presence of God by the Holy Spirit within my soul right now and in each and every moment with absolutely no restrictions? You know, I had to stop and think about that, and I don't have a good answer other than it's a work in process. But his coming presence is here. He's in this room. He's in your body. Do I place restrictions? And that's the one that I'm really looking at. And I ask that you would do the same thing. Are we living in the realization that all of our life is in Christ and that every moment is meant to be filled with his presence and the power by the Spirit? Now, I know for some, last night, the driver of the parade float was moving a little faster than your legs would want to keep up. And I'm quite sure you weren't thinking about Jesus lifting your feet up and moving you along a little faster. But he was there. He was watching those families along the parade route with their children and their little lights that they would have on, and he was enjoying the show. And if you were in the back of the truck or on the float and not hoofing it to keep up, you got to see some of that joy, some of that excitement. And for those of you that walked, thank you. A lesson was learned, slow down. But the realization that Jesus was in the entire event, from float development to lineup to going through the whole route to taking the float back down and apart. Jesus was there probably just smiling and enjoying it as much as we were. And he understood when you rolled over this morning and went, oh. He gets it. It's a part of understanding. He was a human. He is human. He knows what it's like to exert yourself. Every moment is meant to be filled with his presence and the power by the Spirit. That is unbelievably beautiful. John's call to prepare the way involves a call to repentance and baptism for the remission of sins. Turn around and don't keep doing the same thing. Biblical repentance involves a change in both one's mind and heart. It's not just something that's in your head. It's also in your heart. That change is a conscious decision to do something different. Trade in your path for my easy path. This is what Jesus is saying. I got this. I can take it. Let me help you with your load. Help me. Let me show you this straight path that doesn't have all of the rocks that hurt your feet when you walk on it, or the obstructions you have to go around. Let Jesus lead you. Make a way, a clear path. These are all the Spirit's works in our hearts and lives. You know, the Spirit is working with us as we prepare the way, as we move to remove distractions, restrictions. And I kept thinking about a man that he's been gone a number of years now, was an elder in the church here. Harry would talk about might have this little piece of glass that's down inside your body. And your body's kind of healed over it. But it's still, every now and then, it moves. And your body is working to expel this piece of glass until it's gone. That is some of the baggage that we have it's there. It's a part of us, our body, and we've kind of accepted that its presence is there. But every now and then, something will bump it. But it slowly, with God's intervention and your willingness to repent and change, it's gone. And how wonderful that is. And the body in that wound totally does heal. It doesn't have that piece of glass or that obstruction bumping us. It's gone. So let the Spirit do its work in our hearts and our lives. God calls us to participate by doing our part. Repent and believe. As we travel daily down this road called life, as you go through this week, I ask you to look up the phrase, "Peace be with you." And that is the phrase that Jesus said repeatedly when he first entered the room with the disciples. When he didn't use the door, he entered the room. Thomas wasn't there, and he said what? "Peace be with you." A week, 2 weeks later, Thomas is with him, and he does the same thing. "Peace be with you." That is such a powerful statement. And it's one that, in this Western culture, if Jesus were to walk in this room and tell each one of us, "Peace be with you," what would you do? Would you jump for joy? Would you give him a hug? Would you fall down and not know what to do? The power of that statement is huge. And it reads so quickly as we go through the scripture. "Peace be with you," and we move on. "Peace be with you," and we move on. I ask you this week to take a little time and let peace be with you and nurture you and help you in that process of preparing the way of the Lord. Peace be with you. We feed on Jesus Christ, on his life, poured into you through his word and by his Spirit, and in joining together with other believers as we share communion. His body, his blood, poured out for us. Was this a step in preparing the way of the Lord? Yes. Is it a form of peace be with you forever? This is a huge gift that he has given us. Father God, thank you for Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and for the sacrifice following an eventful life here on earth. But because of this gift of his broken body and his spilled blood, we can have peace. We can draw close to you. As we take these elements, we ingest Jesus into us. We share in his life. And God, some of that can be an uphill battle, but you are always there making the path straight. And I ask that you would bless these elements and help each one of us reflect on the very beautiful and wonderful love of the phrase, "Peace be with you." In Jesus' name, amen. The table is set, it's ready. Come as you feel led.
Lord, thank you for our time together today. As we continue in this Christmas season, help us so we don't get caught up in the commercialism the world is always pushing. Help us to have hope and peace, and help us to share that with those we have contact with this week. Amen. And as we conclude, be people of peace. Let peace live in your heart and share the peace of Christ with all you meet. Share peace by acting out of compassion and not fear. Share peace by listening to all sides of the story. Share peace by praying for our world. In this Advent season, we need to see, feel, and share peace. As you go out into the wonder of God's creation, share peace and hope with those you meet. Amen.